truly a blessing to be here this morning. And I was just kind of thinking about the family we have in Jesus Christ. We have those here who are members here. We have those here who used to be members here visiting. We have other visitors who are with us. And what ties us all together? It's an unusual, you know, it doesn't matter what background we are. It doesn't matter what type of work we do. It doesn't matter what our nation of origin is. We all can be a family of Jesus and assemble to worship Him. What a blessing it is to be a Christian. And in these times of so many troubles and so many doubts and fears of the unknown in the future, it's a great time to be a Christian. If you're in our audience and you're not a Christian this morning, hopefully the things that we have done, maybe the things that God's Word will say to us in this sermon, or something else will trigger your mind and your heart to want to please God. And we want to help you with that. And that's what we all are all about. I appreciate the prayer of Brother Rick and the prayer of Brother Aaron. And hopefully we will glorify God for the next couple minutes. As you know who are members here, I've preached a couple of sermons based on Psalm 23. And while reading Psalm 23 a couple months back, I saw something that connected in my mind anyways, a thought that was very encouraging to me. And I'm going to try to share that with you by going back a chapter. We're going to talk about Psalm 22 and then look at Psalm 23 in that context. And Psalm 22 is a psalm, it's a twofold psalm. It's a powerful psalm. It's one that shows the reality of what David was feeling. He's really feeling things and going through a tough time in his life. But then within that reality, it's very clear. And sometimes prophecies are not very clear. And sometimes if we hadn't had it revealed that the prophecy was being fulfilled, we might not know it. But as we read Psalm 22, we will see things that were prophesied about Jesus without a certainty that are included in this psalm. So what I want us to do is to focus on Psalm 22, and then we're going to circle back around to Psalm 23. And at this time, I'm going to ask Brother Drew to read Psalm 22 for us. So please open up your Bibles or your electronic Bible, whatever you have, and read together with Brother Drew Psalm chapter 22.
My God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from helping me and from the words of my groaning? Oh my God, I cry in the daytime, but you do not hear. And in the night season, and am not silent. But you are holy, enthroned in the praise of Israel. Our fathers trusted in you. They trusted and you would deliver them. They cried to you and were delivered. They trusted in you and were not ashamed. But I am a worm, no man. A reproach of men, despised by the people. All those who see me ridicule me. They shoot out the lip. They shake the head, saying, he trusted in the Lord. Let him rescue him. Let him deliver him, since he delights in him. But you are he who took me out of the womb. You made me trust while on my mother's breast. I was thrust upon you from birth, from my mother's womb. You have been my God. Be not far from me. For trouble is near, for there is none to help. Many bulls have surrounded me. Strong bulls of Bashan have encircled me. They gape at me with their mouths, like a raging and roaring lion. I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax, it has melted within me. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue clings to my jaw. You have brought me to the dust of death. For dogs have surrounded me. The congregation of the wicked has enclosed me. They pierced my hands and my feet. I can count all my bones. They look and stare at me. They divide my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots. But you, O Lord, do not be far from me. O my strength, hasten to help me. Deliver me from the sword, my precious life, and the power of the dog. Save me from the lion's mouth and from the horn of the wild ox. You have answered me. I will declare your name to my brethren. In the midst of the assembly, I will praise you. You who fear the Lord, praise him. All you descendants of Jacob, glorify him. And fear him, all you offspring of Israel. For he has not despised nor abhorred the affliction of the afflicted, nor has he hidden his face from him. But when he cried to him, he heard. My praise shall be of you in the great assembly. I will pay my vow before those who fear him. The poor shall eat and be satisfied. Those who seek him will praise the Lord. Let your heart live forever. All the ends of the world shall remember and turn to the Lord. And all the families of the nations shall worship before you. For the kingdom is the Lord, and he rules over the nations. All the prosperous of the earth shall eat and worship. All those who go down to the dust shall bow before him, even he who cannot keep himself alive. The posterity shall serve him. It will be recounted of the Lord to the next generation. They will come and declare his righteousness to the people who will be born, that he has done this.
Thank you, brother. Psalm 23 is a power, or 22 is a powerful psalm. Notice how it starts out. David says, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from helping me and from the words of my groaning? Here we see verbatim words that Jesus spoke when he's hanging on the cross. Many times we Christians may feel we're all alone. We may feel these temptations to think that God isn't aware, or he's not concerned with what we're going through. We're going to see later on in this that David does know that. But you still have those doubts that creep in. You have those thoughts sometimes when maybe things aren't going the way you'd like them to go. My God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from helping me and from the words of my groaning? Sincere words of David and sincere words of our Lord when he's on the cross. These are real feelings that had to be dealt with, had to be overcome, as a matter of fact. In verse 5, we see David says, they cried to you and were delivered. They trusted in you and were not ashamed. He's noting that when people have needed God, they could turn to him, they could cry to him, and God would answer them. And David knows that. And he realizes that. And he realizes that in this idea, that's what it takes, doesn't it? When we're going through a tough time, we need to really trust the Lord. You know, we have a lot of folks in our congregation looking for jobs now. Isn't that a temptation? You know, to get off track. But we got to trust in the Lord. He's promised us he'd provide for us. But sometimes it takes a long time to find that job, find that employment. And yet, if we trust him, we know that he'll provide for us. And it says, they trusted in you and were not ashamed. How many times are we tempted to, maybe we don't say we're ashamed to be a Christian, but we're not real open about it. You ever have temptations like that? Because you're surrounded by people who aren't Christians. You're surrounded by people who may say something negative to you, and you hold back. No, if we need to trust him, and we need to not be ashamed. We see that here. And verse 7, all those who see me ridicule me. Remember the sin that David committed with Bathsheba, and then later on, killing Bathsheba's husband or having it arranged. Remember, there was consequences to that. The Lord told David there would be consequences. Here's some of those consequences. Sometimes when we do things that are wrong, there's consequences. And notice this, all those who see me ridicule me. This is King David. This is King David. He's being ridiculed. But can't we see and relate that to Jesus? King Jesus was on the cross. King Jesus was made fun of. They shoot out the lip. They shake the head, saying, "He trusted in the Lord. Let him rescue him." Jesus is hanging on the cross, and people were making fun of him, mocking him. And, you know, Jesus knew he had to stay on that cross and not come down because it was the Lord's will. But to have it said in this idea that the Lord doesn't have power to deliver him, that wasn't the case, was it? The Lord loved us so much that he didn't deliver him. See, he trusted in the Lord. Let him rescue him. Let him deliver him, since he delights in him. King David felt those same feelings. He's a king, yet people are ridiculing him. He needed to really trust in the Lord. Verse 11, "Be not far from me, for trouble is near, for there's none to help." There's that thought again. When trouble's near, it seems like, oh, why me? Nobody knows. Nobody understands. Nobody cares what I'm going through. You know, we forget that the Lord knows everything that's going on. We are tempted to feel sorry for ourselves. Here we see that temptation of King David. Verse 15 and 16. "My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue clings to my jaws. You have brought me to the dust of death, for dogs have surrounded me. The congregation of the wicked has enclosed me, and they pierced my hands and my feet." We read this prophecy, and we can clearly see this pointing to Jesus. But this is also how David felt. This is how he felt. He's on his last, at the end of his rope, we might say. And that's how he felt. But it also points us to the feelings that our Lord had while hanging on the cross. Verse 18, "They divide my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots." Here's King David. Look how they're treating him. Look how they're treating him. It's almost like around the holidays, I always like to watch Scrooge, Ebenezer, the story of Scrooge, and he has this vision of him dying, and then there's these wicked people dividing up his curtains and his clothes and his different things. That's kind of what I get, this idea. They're dividing up King David's garments, and they're casting lots. Who's going to get this piece? Who's going to get this piece? Well, we know what they did with Jesus. Remember? He had that robe. And remember, they didn't want to divide it up because it would have wrecked it. So they cast lots for him. Verse 19. "But you, O Lord, do not be far from me. O my strength, hasten to help me." You see, David knows that the Lord is there. He knows he's going to help him. He's just wanting him now. You ever feel like that? You're going through a tough time, and maybe the Lord has a timetable for you to learn from this trial, and maybe you want that timetable to be speeded up a little bit. I think that's what we have going on here. Verse 22, "I will declare your name to my brethren. In the midst of the assembly, I will praise you." Wow. All the things David is going through, all the things he's sharing with the Lord, all the things that are written down in this psalm about his feelings and all the real trials he's going through. And notice what he says. "I will declare your name to my brethren in the midst of the assembly. I praise you. I will praise you." What a great example. We can see why David was a man after God's own heart. In the midst of all these things, "I will declare your name to my brethren. In the midst of the assembly, I will praise you." Verse 25, "My praise shall be of you in the great assembly." I will pay my vows before those who fear him. The poor shall eat and be satisfied. Those who seek him will praise the Lord. Let your heart live forever. What wonderful words. And these words still apply today. The same attitude, the same promises are there. And the provisions are there. For the kingdom is the Lord's, and he rules over the nations. Sometimes we see the things that nations are doing. We see the things that nations are sanctioning. We see the things, the evil that is being promoted around the world and in our own country. Here's something we need to remember. For the kingdom is the Lord's, and he rules over the nations. So Psalm 22, it shows us how David's feeling and all the trials he's going through. And then he gives us a glimpse of what Jesus would endure for all men. Notice some passages from the New Testament. Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 8. Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 8. I'm like Brian. I like opening up my Bible. Even though I can have it written down on some electronic gadget, I like reading it from my Bible. And it takes a little longer sometimes. Though he was a son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. And having been perfected, he became the author of eternal salvation to all who obey him. It's actually Hebrews 5, 8, and 9. Though he was a son, this is talking about Jesus, he learned obedience. We don't think about that. We think Jesus, the Son of God, God, deity, learned things. That's exactly what this verse says. Though he was a son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. And having been perfected, he became the author of eternal salvation to all who obey him. Jesus did that for you and I. He did that for you and I. We need to personalize this. Hebrews 4, verses 15 and 16. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we might obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. We have this high priest, this great high priest. He understands what we go through. He knows everything that we deal with because he went through it, and frankly, he went through more than we can imagine because he was tempted in ways that we can't be tempted. And why did he do that? He did that so we can have access to the great throne of God through him. Because we have this high priest, we have this great high priest who endured for us and was tempted more than any of us will ever be tempted, who would be better to shepherd, be our shepherd through this life? Who would be the best shepherd, or who could be a better shepherd to lead us through the minefields of life, through the trials of life? Who would be better? Jesus says in John 10:10, I am the good shepherd. The world may say there's lots of good shepherds. Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. That's what Jesus did. John 10, starting in verse 26, but you do not believe because you are not of my sheep. As I said to you, my sheep hear my voice. Are we hearing it? Are we hearing the voice of Jesus on a daily basis? And I know them, and they follow me. Are we following him like we should every day? And I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. That's our shepherd. That's Jesus, the true shepherd. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 20. Hebrews 13 and verse 20. And this is a cool passage. And again, this is Hebrews 13, verse 20 and 21. Now may the God of peace, who brought up our Lord Jesus from the dead, Notice what the Hebrew writer calls Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you complete in every good work to do his will, working in you what is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Notice what God has done for us. Now may the God of peace, who brought up our Lord Jesus from the dead. You know, Jesus died on the cross. He was buried. And you know what? He rose. Here, the Hebrew writer is hearkening back to that fact. Now may the God of peace, who brought up our Lord Jesus from the dead, that great shepherd, okay, Jesus, the one who died, the one who's now risen, the great shepherd, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, he shed his blood. Christians, remember that at the Lord's table in a little while, we will remember that blood of the everlasting covenant. We partake of it every week to remember this. Make you complete in every good work. What's the goal of all these provisions and all these blessings that have been laid down for mankind? Is it will simply do his will. Just do his will. And doing a work that is well-pleasing to him. When we're pleasing to the Lord, good things happen around us to his glory. What a cool passage. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 25. For you are like sheep going astray. Here's the analogy of sheep and the great shepherd again. For you are like sheep going astray, but have now returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. And now you're probably thinking, well, where are we going with this? Well, let's turn to Psalm 23. With the background of Brother Drew reading Psalm 22 and some of these cross-references from the New Testament, now let's go back to Psalm 23. And I've got it up on the screen in the New King James Version. Let's read together Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Now, I don't know about you, but after reading Psalm 22, and then I read Psalm 23, it just ratchets up the meaning a bit. And that's what I hope you see here. And Beth and I talked about this. We have no way to know the timing of the writing of Psalm 22 and Psalm 23. We do know that they're both from David. And we do know there's some chronological order to what they're at. But What a powerful two psalms. We see how David is going through these trials, these real trials, so bad that they are giving us glimpses of what Jesus went through us through for us in our life. And then Psalm 23. That's powerful. The Lord is my shepherd. Notice something here in verses 3 and 4. We've dealt, Psalm 22 talked about the trials that David was going through. Notice what he says in verse 3 and 4. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Do you remember what he's going through? Do you remember how people were ridiculing him and dividing his garments and surrounding him like dogs, ready to pounce on their prey? He restores my soul. He leads me in the path. In the midst of all this turmoil, he knows that God will lead him, and he can trust in that. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, what does David say? I will fear no evil. Can we say that today? Do we live in fear sometimes? We watch the news, we hear people talk. Do we let that fear get to us a little bit? You know what? There's nothing to fear. I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. David understood trials. Jesus understood trials. And you know what? There's nothing to fear. God's going to provide for his people. I want us to make some observations here. I want us to personalize this a little bit. And I've underlined some words here. And hopefully you can see them on the screen. How personal this psalm is. The Lord is my shepherd. He makes me lie down. This is David. The Lord is David's shepherd. He makes David lie down. He leads David beside the still waters. He restores David's soul. He leads David in the path of righteousness. Yea, though David walks through the valley of the shadow of death, David will fear no evil, for you are with David. Your rod and your staff, they comfort David. You prepare a table before David in the presence of David's enemies. You anoint David's head with oil. David's cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow David all the days of David's life. And David will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Why did I go through that? You know what? Let's put our names in there. Can we put our names in there? And if we do, if we can put our names in there, see how powerful the lesson is. If the Lord is truly our shepherd, look at all those blessings that come from that. Put your name in there. Personalize this psalm. Make this a personal psalm for all of you. You know, why not make it our personal psalm? I don't know about you, but this has helped me to apply these words that the Holy Spirit has made sure we have to really, I guess, ratchet up my appreciation for what God has provided in His Word. Are you letting the Great Shepherd lead you today? Are you really letting Him lead? You see these sheep in this picture. They're dependent on the shepherd. And they're dependent on his helpers to make sure they got green grass, because everywhere around there's no water, there's no provisions. But with the shepherd, he'll guide them to where they have everything they need. The difference between our great shepherd and the one in this picture is that our great shepherd died for us. He gave his life for his sheep. Have you become one of the flock of the sheep? To become a child of God, to become one of his sheep, you must believe in him. And you must believe him. It's two different things. You need to believe in him, and then you need to believe him. And then you need to be willing to confess that he is the Son of God. And then you need to turn away. Because if you're not following the Lord, you're following something. You need to turn away from that. And turn to God. And repent of your sins. And then be immersed in the waters of baptism. To wash away those sins. That's how you can become a sheep in his flock this morning. And one more passage I want us to read together. That hopefully puts some of these thoughts together better than I could ever do. Please open your Bibles or read the screen from Revelation 7, verse 13 through 17. Then one of the elders answered, saying to me, "Who are these arrayed in white robes? And where do they come from?" And I said to him, "Sir, you know." So he said to me, "These are the ones who come out of the great tribulation and washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore they are before the throne of God and serve Him day and night in His temple. and he who sits on the throne will dwell among them. They shall neither hunger any more nor thirst any more. The sun shall not strike them, nor any heat. For the Lamb who is in the midst of the throne will shepherd them and lead them to living water, living fountains of waters. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Something that I missed for years is the fact that the Lamb of God became the great shepherd. Do you see that? The Lamb of God became the great shepherd. And he wants to be the shepherd of your life and my life on a daily basis. And what he offers is eternal life if we follow him. And we need to follow him. He knows what's best. Even when things seem in doubt, even when trials cause us to wonder what's going on, even when fears, we're tempted to fear, the great shepherd knows what's best for his sheep. It's up to us to follow. It's up to us to follow. And if we can help you now, please come forward while we sing the song that Brian has selected.